gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice.
Superheroes have to be around other superheroes. You know what I mean? That's the Hall of Justice is more about them just commiserating about their powers and less about them, like, actually fighting crime.
Seth Everett is the best there is at what he does, bub. And what he does is the Hall of Justice podcast.
Go, go, go with a smile.
Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the Hall of Justice. This is episode 244. And today we are talking about
the Masters of the Universe.
And I hope you heard that little Filmation intro is in the very, very beginning of the podcast. We might include that for ongoing because that was a lot of fun to listen to. We're going to go back and we're going to go into memory lane. We have The Sorceress on today. That's right. There's a new Netflix show called Masters of the Universe Revelation. We've been talking about it here on the show. And it is quite a departure from anything that's been seen before. What the show has become is controversial because the plot is not boring and the plot goes places where it's supposed to. Warning, spoilers. They kill Prince Adam. They kill He-Man in episode one. And it has gotten a lot of vitriol to the extent of the writers have all told me, because I reached out to many of them, that they need some time before they can come on the podcast. Kevin Smith, who is episode 182 of this podcast, is a colleague. I've talked to him. I've had him on the show. We get along great. And all I'm saying about this show is it goes somewhere. It tells a story. And I think that people just wanted nostalgia. I think if Netflix had put the old He-Man show on, I think people would have been like, wow, that's awesome. I love this. But if you watched it, you'd remember how juvenile it was. You know, I'm a child of the 80s. Okay, I was born in 1974. When He-Man and the Masters of the Universe came out, it was my sweet spot. I had all the figures. This was my thing. This and Transformers were my guys. They were, my room was Eternia. I had Castle Grayskull. I had Snake Mountain. And my bed was the Royal Palace. And I had all these figures. So to be talking to a friend today that happens to have been the sorceress in this new show is really, really wild. But I think the nostalgia part of it is what's getting people. And so I thought, let's do something fan-friendly. Let's hear the open to the old show.
And the Masters of the Universe.
I am Adam, Prince of Eternia and defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword and said,
by the power of Grayskull, I am the power!
Cringer became the mighty Battle Cat, and I became He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe. Only three others share this secret. Our friends, the Sorceress, Man-at-Arms, and Orko. Together, we defend Castle Grayskull from the evil forces of Skeletor.
That's what's missing from the show. And I have a feeling, and nobody told me this, but I think that Filmation owns the theme song, and they couldn't secure the rights to it. One thing I'll say about Masters of the Universe Revelation is it is not just a continuation of that 1980s Filmation show. I think it's more of a continuation of the 2002 show that aired on Cartoon Network. Now, that show didn't have nearly the ratings that the original show had, but it told a much deeper story, including an amazing origin of Skeletor. I think that's what the continuation is. And I think it sits a lot better when you watch it if you think of it in that way. Because to say that this adult-oriented Masters of the Universe Revelation is a continuation of the 1980s Filmation show, I think is a big misnomer. This is what the opening to Masters of the Universe Revelation sounds like.
In the center of the universe, on the planet Eternia, looms Castle Grayskull, ancient fortress of mystery, its power sought by the dark forces of Snake Mountain. Sanctuary of sin and sorrow, ruled by the demon Skeletor and his evil acolytes. And the only thing that stands in their way is Prince Adam, who defends the secrets of Castle Grayskull as He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe. Only four others share this secret, guardians of Grayskull all, amidst an army of the honorable, committed to guarding Castle Grayskull from the havoc of destruction. For those who control Grayskull control the power to be masters of the universe.
That voice is Man at Arms, Liam Cunningham, narrating it, not Prince Adam. And in the other four episodes, they don't play the theme at all. But there are a lot of familiar names in this voice cast. Here's one. Mark Hamill, the Joker himself. Luke Skywalker plays Skeletor. Sarah Michelle Gellar plays Teela, Buffy the Vampire Slayer herself. Kevin Conroy, another veteran of this podcast, plays Merman. Steven Root plays Cringer. Justin Long plays Roboto. Henry Rollins plays Triclops. Here's one that you can't miss. Diedrich Bader plays Trapjaw. Kevin Michael Richardson plays Beastman. These are all names of people that are very, very famous in animation. Chris Wood, by the way, is He-Man. He was Mon-El on the show Supergirl. And Eric Carrasco, one of the writers on Masters of the Universe Revelation, is also a writer on Supergirl. So I'm looking forward to having Eric on when he can, because I'd love to talk to him about both shows, Masters of the Universe Revelation and, of course, Supergirl, a show that I've been very loyal to, I've also been very critical of. But Diedrich Bader sounds like Diedrich Bader. Kevin Conroy, one of the weirdest things is these voice actors sound like they sound, not like they are emulating the old characters. And Susan Eisenberg, today's guest, she plays the sorceress, and I'm going to ask her about that. Kevin Conroy, Merman. Merman used to sound like he had my water in his mouth. That was Merman. Kevin Conroy plays it like Batman. Diedrich Bader, who plays King Randor, he sounds like Diedrich Bader. We talked about Mark Hamill, and the criticism online has been that he sounds too much like the Joker. And I don't know that that's such a bad thing. Let's listen for a second to the trailer. This was the trailer that was released for Masters of the Universe Revelation. And the first voice you hear is our sorceress.
Time after time, you try to take this castle, but you will never succeed, Skeletor.
Call your champion.
I
I'm saying is I had the opportunity, thanks to Netflix, I saw this series over a month ago, and I've been embargoed from talking about it. So I've been very quiet about this show, but look, you want to nitpick every episode? Okay. Episode 5, I don't love. Episode 5, but the show's not over because there's 5 more episodes that are still coming out. And you know how I feel about reviews. When you review a show, you try not to do it after an episode. You didn't want to review WandaVision after episodes 1 and 2, but you want to review WandaVision after all of them. And what I'm not going to do with Susan is I'm not going to start asking her about plot points, not because of the spoiler aspect, but she didn't write the show. She's a voice actor. She gets a script. She has to read the script. So for all of the folks that are on the show that I consider veterans of the podcast and friends, there's no issue with their voice performances because, again, what are we asking for? I do want to talk to a writer, and I do want to have Kevin Smith back on because there are legitimate questions. But those are questions about a series that is about a toy that you played with when you were a kid that, let's face it, is entertaining. This show goes places, and it does things. And I just think that's what needs to be acknowledged. I am not defending Kevin Smith because I like him. I'm not defending any of the voice people because I want to have them on the show. There's no obligation here. I think this is just the toxicity of social media. And if it's not about masks or vaccines, it's not about college football, it's always something. And I just think people are arguing just to argue. He-Man was trending for the first 3 or 4 days that it was released. And part of that, and I think the majority of people like the show, because what's not to like? It's He-Man. It's a well-done, well-animated, gorgeously animated series about your toys. And it's fine. I'll say this. Transformers War for Cybertron Kingdom is better. I thought it was better. But again, what are we splitting hairs about? We talk about these shows. We talk about Jupiter's Legacy and Invincible and The Boys. We talk about these shows and you're getting goodness. And none of this stuff is awful. And so I just think the vitriol is so overwhelming and unfortunate. Well, making her third appearance on the Hall of Justice, but this time we're not talking about Wonder Woman. That feels weird in itself. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome the sorceress herself, my friend Susan Eisenberg. Susan, great to have you back. You haven't been on in over 100 episodes, but we've been busting because I've known you to be playing this role for so long, and I couldn't wait just to have you on the podcast.
Third time's the charm, Seth. We have been talking about the sorceress for a while. So
yes, we have.
You've been very patient, my friend.
Well, it's finally out and it's fun to be able to share. And you were so good on social media whenever anything with Justice League came out. How have you found the embrace of promoting Masters of the Universe? Because I'll say this, anyone who likes Justice League, they watched He-Man when they were a kid. Who are they kidding?
Well, it's weird because I didn't really know anything about He-Man or any Masters of the Universe or anything like that, but it's kind of infectious because the fan base is so, they've made me love it. And, you know, Kevin's take on it, he was so excited when we would do sessions together. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, kind of fell in love with it. And also the scripts were kind of fantastic. I mean,
pretty thick.
Oof. I mean, the fans haven't seen a few of the scripts yet because they're holding them. But man, I mean, I teared up more than a few times. I got to be honest.
Well, I wanted to ask you a couple of things about the process, because one of the things that I noticed is with this show, was it recorded like the old Justice League shows where a bunch of you were together, or was it like they do now in modern animation where everybody's alone and they edit it all together? What was this one like? You've done so many other voice things, but in this situation, were you with anyone?
So I was with the cast, some of the cast, not all of the cast. The first two episodes, I believe, I recorded. But okay. then COVID hit. And so everyone, so we didn't record for a while because COVID was like really serious at that point. And then when we did start to come back to record more, everyone was doing it from their homes. So everybody had their own, at that point, recording studio. And what we did was we would Zoom. So we would see, I would see Kevin, and he would see me, but I was recording from my home studio. So you missed having the camaraderie. I mean, it was kind of great because Kevin would read with me. So that was kind of, delicious.
That was fun, but, right?
Yeah, so fun. But but you lose that sense of like team, being on part of a team. And there's nothing better, frankly, than being in a studio with all your coworkers and you're all making these projects together. Having said that, there were writers on the Zoom call. There was Kevin, Colette, our casting person, was there. Sure. So you did have
another veteran of the podcast. She's been on too. She was on our Stan Lee tribute.
Well, because listen, Colette just, she's just on so many projects and, she's in this business deep. So she was there and we're all there, but it's not the same. Although you don't have to commute, which is nice. It's very convenient. You can
I bet.
There are definite pluses.
for the audience, just so you know, episode 106 is our celebration of Stan Lee. We had like six different people on, and Colette Sunderman was one of them. Susan's appearances, she was on episode 50 of this podcast. That's when we really first started. That was right after Zack Snyder had happened. And then, of course, episode 114, when the hashtag JL reunion was on, and we had you on to promote the return of the Justice League. And that was before the Fatal Five movie. And so there's still hope.
There's still hope. I think, well, just my personality, I always hope. I just always believe, and I want the fans to believe also. And they've been so extraordinary and steadfast. And so at this point, we've seen the Snyder Cut, and now we're just waiting on that JL reunion still.
Right.
I've said it a million times. I will never understand why it hasn't been done. It just seems like the most obvious slam dunk ever.
With streaming services, there's no reason not to.
Yeah.
But if I could share one private thing that you said between you and me that is hysterical. The idea, when I texted you that they had come up with the Justice League Infinity comic book, and I said, well, that's a sign. I was like, that's cool. And you were like, yeah, I don't get a dime for that.
Well, and I thought it was, I got to say, we know the creators of the new comic book, and it's exciting, especially when they look like our characters.
Exactly.
It's hard not to get excited. And fans are asking, and I keep saying to the fans, actors are the last to know, we're put into the equation at the very end. Other things have to happen way before we get involved. And, it's not like anyone at Warner Brothers is calling me on, and saying, what do you think about this? So I'm just hopeful that with the comic book and the excitement surrounding it, that it could still happen,
Well, I want to ask you about the process, because there's something that has, that has been very talked about online. But before I do, when you found out you got the role, did you go back and watch the old show? Did you watch the 2002 show? A lot of people are saying that Masters of the Universe Revelation is more a continuation of the 2002 series. Had you done any, looking back at the old sorceresses? Is that
I
a
did.
Word? Is
I,
plural
yes,
sorceresses?
Yes,
is that plural?
Sorceresses. I did a deep dive because I didn't know anything about her. And I went into my first session with a very definite idea of what I wanted her to sound like, which was going to be quite ethereal.
Yeah.
I wanted a very ethereal quality to her, somewhat older than I had voiced Wonder Woman, obviously, and some of the other characters I've done. So I you know, looked at other actresses who had done it and listened to them. But when I went into the session with Kevin, and whenever I say Kevin, I always feel like people are going to think Conroy because
yes, because of your connection. But another veteran of this podcast. But Kevin Smith, for those of you who are new to the show, Kevin Smith was episode 182. And we talk about Masters of the Universe around the time that Susan was recording. That's how long ago we had him on. But it literally seems like you guys were working on that show at that point. But yes, Kevin
Smith. We were, and that's right. Yes.
Kevin Conroy's been on about five times.
So not Kevin Conroy, but Kevin Smith, right. When I went into this, and Kevin Conroy's in Masters of the Universe.
Yes.
Too. Small world. So when I went into this, my first session, and I told him what I had done, you know, that I had listened to other women and I had created what I imagined her to sound like. And he said, okay, well, great. And thank you for doing the homework. But I know what I want you to sound like.
Yeah.
I've worked it out already. And so when he told me, I was like, okay, there we go. So everything you hear the sorceress do is because Kevin directed me to do her like that.
Okay.
And so, you know, I mean, it's important, I think, as an actor to know what you want to do. And then it's really important to be able to make an adjustment and do what the director asks you to do.
Of course, but I'm glad to hear you say that because a lot of the comments online have been the differences in the voices and less with Chris Wood because Chris Wood just sounds like Chris Wood, but you yourself, Kevin Conroy, Diedrich Bader, and Mark Hamill have been called out, I don't think it's a negative, but you sound like Susan, like you sound more like Wonder Woman than the sorceress. Kevin Conroy sounds like Kevin Conroy. He doesn't sound like Merman. And Skeletor, it's impossible to hear Skeletor and not hear the Joker. Now, what you're saying is Kevin Smith made a conscious choice that I want them to sound like how they sound, quote unquote, as they are in their best work. And again, that's a choice he made. If you wanted Alan Oppenheimer to be Skeletor, you should have asked Alan Oppenheimer, not Mark Hamill. And in the case of the sorceress, you are literally, there's no secret that anyone who knows your work knows it's you voicing the sorceress.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are a couple of episodes at the end that we haven't seen yet that haven't been released, that I think it's a little bit different just because of what the action is. So it's a little different than what we've heard before. But most importantly, I think Kevin very much wanted her to sound in the vein of Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. That's what he wanted. And, you know, I was happy to oblige. I mean, it's easier for me to do that. And to I was trying in that first session to get away from that so that it wouldn't sound
so
like her.
Yeah.
And Kevin very much wanted it to sound like that. In fact, he said, you know what you did in the Justice League? And I said, sure. He said, that's similar to, right, do that.
Well, he probably said effing do that, but that's another.
Yeah, I mean, I don't quite recall that, but obviously not dead on like Wonder Woman because it's different and I don't think she sounds exactly like that. I think she definitely sounds more mature than I sounded in Justice League. But yeah, I mean, there is that. And so I think that like any project, I mean, there are going to be different iterations. I mean, if you want it to sound exactly like it was, then like you said before, go listen to the original. This is going to be a departure because you're asking somebody who is an extremely passionate, innovative filmmaker to do their take on it, to do his take on it. So it's Kevin's take on it. And we were just happy to go along as actors. We're just happy to go along on the ride. And I haven't really read too much or heard too much about it because that's not my job to take, you know, to go down that road. I don't think good things come when you go down that road of all the criticisms and things like that. I think you have to stay above it as much as you can.
Well, and I wasn't going to, like, I wasn't going to ask you about the plot because you didn't write it.
Right. No, I did not. We had
it goes
really
to my
writers.
Green Lantern line. You know, Ryan Reynolds was great in Green Lantern. It's not his fault he fought a cloud. It's like people get mad about that movie, but Ryan Reynolds didn't write Green Lantern. And, you know, you didn't write Masters of the Universe. And so this idea that, you know, people are upset about what they can't control. I think people are yearning for the old. And what if Netflix had put out the original series side by side with this show, I think sure. people would recognize how juvenile the original show was. And I'm not putting it down because I'm a little younger than you. I mean, He-Man was in my wheelhouse. Like that was, that was my thing growing up. You know, when I was 8 years old, my room was Eternia and like, oh my God, like that was everything. Oh my God. All of them. And I hear the voices all the time. And I remember Cam Clark was on this podcast and he was He-Man in the 2002 series. And I got goosebumps. I was like, oh my God, I'm talking to He-Man, you know, because that's his regular speaking voice. And but I think in the case of the Sorceress and Skeletor, more than anything, oh, and Merman, because in Merman's case, you know, he always sounded like he had water in his mouth. And Kevin doesn't sound like that. Kevin Conroy doesn't sound like that. If anything, he sounds like a cross between Bruce Wayne and Batman. And people saw that and it's a little jarring. King Randor sounds like Diedrich Bader. And that's not to say that these performances are, it's just, it's not King Randor the way you remember it. And that's pretty throughout the series. You know, the closest person to the original character is Lena Headey. Am I saying her name? Mm-hmm. Who plays Evelyn. She sounds like Evelyn. Like she sounds like the old Evelyn. And it's very, very different. But Sarah Michelle Gellar doesn't sound like the old Teela, nor should she.
Right. Well, I think that, you know, I think what we don't get in today's world is we don't allow for different iterations as much. Like you say, people are very nostalgic, but I have, as Wonder Woman, somebody who's voiced her, I've seen a gazillion projects that haven't included me, Phil Amar, Kevin Conroy, Michael Rosenbaum, Maria Canales Barrera, Carl Lumley. I've seen, you know, and you have to allow for that. There's not ownership. And I think it's important for fans and actors and all of us to recognize that we don't own the stories and we don't own the characters. There has to be a generosity where other people can tell the stories with their interpretation. And people can be upset, of course, or disappointed, or outraged even. But, you know, I think that we have to allow, it's art. It's art and we have to allow for it. I mean, it's that simple. So I think if people are upset about it, that is too bad. And I think they should just go back and
watch the old show. Right.
Watch the old show.
Right.
Yeah.
And get out your DVD player and watch the old show. And that would be it. Before I let you go, I'll make you laugh. Michael Rosenbaum was on the podcast about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, maybe. And he's great. And he loves you. And we were talking and we noted that he is the fifth of the original seven Justice Leaguers to be on the Hall of Justice. And he very casually then says, yeah, but you haven't had Lumley yet.
Yeah.
And I was like, no kidding. Like, make me feel worse. Like, look, I know. And then the Falcon and the Winter Soldier came out.
Mm-hmm.
And your friend, Carl Lumley, steals the show.
Yes.
The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, when he plays Isaiah Bradley, which is one of the greatest comic books of all time, your friend Carl Lumley gives an award-winning performance. That was 100%. Unbelievable. And to think when you knew he was on, I didn't know that. So I'm watching this show and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, that's the Martian Manhunter. Like I was like, holy moly, what was it like to see him and the pride that you must have felt seeing him just eat the scenery.
You know, he's just a marvel. I mean, pardon the pun, but he really is. And I think that all of us,
I just got that.
All of us feel that way about him. I mean, if there's you know, the seven of us have worked together for so many years. We know each other. We do appearances together, much less so with Carl, because Carl is not that guy. He's done very few appearances. But we always, when we did Michael Rosenbaum's podcast together, mm-hmm. there's just something about
Carl that
we all just, we all love him. We all respect him. And he's just a very, very special human being. So to answer your question, he's just extraordinary. And when I watch him, whatever I watch him in, I'm always moved and moved by his performance, moved by the humanity he brings to everything. And we just all adore and love him, just like his fans do. So he's a tough get, I gotta say.
Yeah. He's like my white whale. I know.
He's tough. I'd love to say to you, you know what, Seth? Let me put in a call and make it happen.
Yeah, I'll make a call and make it happen. I know.
But
it's funny because he was good in Supergirl. You know, he was, and it was weird that he was playing like the Martian Manhunter's brother or so, or father. And that was cool. But Isaiah Bradley, oh my God. And, you know, the Emmy nominations came out and he was not nominated.
I know.
But Don Cheadle was, and he's on the screen for 90 seconds. And everyone, that's a crime, because Carl Laemmle playing this character that is so rich. And I don't know if you've ever seen the book, but Truth, it's called Truth, Red, White, and Black. And it's about the experiments after Steve Rogers. And it's just as it is in the show. And it's one of the greatest comic books ever written. And to see it come to life, but in the form of that gentleman, I couldn't have you on and not mention it.
You know, and I think he was robbed. I mean,
completely robbed.
No, it's just robbed. I mean, because he's an extraordinary actor. I mean, it's like he really, really is. And plus, when you have Carl in something, you have the talent, sure, but then you have that extraordinary humanity that he brings to everything he does.
Totally.
He's just a very, very special man. He just is. And there's no one I know who wouldn't say that about him. He's so beloved within the acting community and you know, the fan community. I mean, he's just loved.
But you have your club and you have your group, and it's cool that he comes from that world and he's in this world now, and it's just so amazing. So it's so incredible. As are you, my friend. Great job with Masters of the Universe Revelation. The sorceress herself. I cannot believe my friend is the sorceress. I had that action figure. There's no. This is very jarring.
That's adorable.
Susan, continued success. And when the rest of the series comes out, you'll come back on.
Thank you. And yeah, stay tuned, because what's coming up, I know what's coming up. Oh. And it, you know, hold on. It's going to be good.
Thanks so much to Susan Eisenberg for coming on the podcast. And like I said, go see Masters of the Universe Revelation. The next couple of weeks, we are booked up, but we're going to revisit this series, hopefully when it comes out again, hopefully with the writers or Kevin. The bottom line is, see the show, make your own judgment, and let me know. Follow me on Twitter, @Seth_Everett. You can see me on Instagram. It's Seth Everett with an underscore. I don't know why Instagram's different, but we can talk on social media about this show. It's not awful. Is it my favorite show of all time? No, but I'm not coming here just to rip it. Let's see the end and see how satisfying it is. Next week, we're going to revisit Batman The Long Halloween Part 2. Comes out soon from Warner Brothers. Julie Nathanson, longtime voice actor. She's in that film. She's also from the Zeta Project. Remember that one? Oh, yeah, this is nostalgia. That's why we call the show The Hall of Justice. See you next week. Believe it or not, I'm walking on.